The growing interest in gardening. All across the country, people are picking up their trowels, planting seeds, and dreaming of bountiful harvests. With the coronavirus keeping us at home, gardening has taken on a new appeal. It's something that gets us outdoors in the safety of our own surroundings and symbolizes the promise of renewal and growth. On a practical level, it's also a way to safely supplement our food supply. And for many, there's also the soothing effect of digging in the dirt. I'm Keith Shortall. Our gardening experts join me today to explain what to do to get your garden going, and what to plant, and when, and where. They'll also answer your questions about perennials, pests, invasive plants, and more. Maine Calling is next. First, this news.
For Maine Public Radio, I'm Keith Shortall, and this is Maine Calling. Gardening has become a thing for even more Americans during the pandemic. Today, we'll talk with experts about how to get started for the season, what to plant, when, and where, and we'll answer your gardening questions. Today, with me, Pamela Hargest. She's horticulture professional with the Cumberland County Cooperative Extension, and Gary Fish. He's state horticulturist with the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. And as always, of course, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about seeds or seedlings or soil? Concerned about pests or pesticides? We might have answers for you. Email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling. You can post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Gary Fish, I'll start with you. Welcome to the program again, first of all. We've been hearing comparisons throughout this pandemic to wartime, in particular World War II. And in this context, some comparisons about World War II victory gardens. This was a time of rationing during the war, and so some 40% of produce, I read somewhere, were created in these victory gardens. There's no real rationing here, but is there a parallel to be made in some way, do you think?
Well, I think because people are so concerned about the potential for food shortages and what we've seen in so many grocery stores where people have kind of made a run on certain items, that it's made people think a lot more about being self-sufficient. And so the Victory Garden was all about that. And the National Garden Bureau, which started that out back during the Second World War, is still out there. And they have a great website for people to go to find information about actually having a successful victory garden. And it's spring, and we all want to grow things.
We all want to grow things. Have you noticed personally, in your capacity as the horticulturist for the state, a more intensified interest in gardening?
I have. We've had reports from a number of the folks that we work with saying that their seed supplies are dwindling very quickly, and they're hoping to get their new shipments in soon so that their shelves will be full again so people can come in and buy. And I think they'll be ready, as well as those that are planting plants now to sell seedlings later on. They're all getting equipped and ready to go, and we're all expecting that there's going to be a huge demand, and they're trying to get ready for that. We're trying to help them do that.
Pamela, what have you been seeing personally as far as people's growing interest in gardening? Obviously, it's that time of year, but are you finding sort of new gardeners coming to the game, or are people talking about it in a different way?
Yeah, we certainly have seen the same thing that Gary was describing. There's definitely an influx of questions that we're receiving through email, through phone. And we've been answering a lot of those questions across the state, and certainly have seen more beginner gardeners looking for resources and information about how to get started.
And Gary mentioned that this, obviously, it's a way to also augment your supply of food and maybe avoid going to the grocery store too many times. But is there also sort of a psychological reason that people are doing this, do you think? I mean, is it about being outside, having something that you can do that's safe? What is it, do you think, that gives comfort and is renewing this interest other than augmenting food supply?
Yeah, I think, gardening does a lot of different things for us. It certainly helps us feel more resilient if we can grow our own food. I think for a lot of people who are stuck at home, working from home, gardening can be a therapeutic quality to their day where they can get outside and move around. There's a lot of different benefits to being outside and in the garden.
Okay, great. And we're going to yeah, go ahead, Gary. Sorry.
Who doesn't love a fresh carrot right out of the ground compared to one that you buy from the grocery store?
True. And tomatoes, I think. There's really a big difference between growing your own tomatoes. And we'll get to that, all of that. And, of course, again, we want to hear from you, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Gary, you have a list of 10 things that you have to kind of look out for. We're not going to go through them all. But one of them is making sure that you've got good soil. What's the most important thing, maybe even for new gardeners who are heading out and just starting to rip up some sod and make a plot for themselves? What's the first thing that they should do to make sure that they've got a good plot of nutritious soil to start with?
Well, I think first and foremost, it needs to be in full sun. So they need to get 6 to 8 hours of sun in the patch that they decide to grow in. And I think that they need to make sure that it is soil that has never had contamination from paint chips or other types of toxic material. So, you want to make sure that it's not kind of in an industrial area or an area where an old building was or something like that. And then ideally, in the best case, they should take a soil sample and send it to the University of Maine and have it analyzed to find out what their soil is and what's in it and what they need to add to it. But you need to have soil that is loose and friable, and hopefully it's not totally made up of just clay particles, that it's got a mixture of sand, silt, and clay, and that it doesn't, if you grab it with your hand and hold it in your hand and squeeze it, that it holds together, but it doesn't mold like clay, that it will fall apart afterwards. That helps you to see a good soil. And then adding organic matter is always a good option to help improve a soil, even a bad soil, if it's too sandy or too much clay. So adding compost that's been finished or other types of materials that are going to provide organic matter is also helpful.
You mentioned getting away from potential lead contamination. So this means maybe not putting your chives in a bed right next to your house, which may have been painted and scraped multiple times, moving all the edibles away from the house and maybe leaving the house for flowers.
Absolutely. I think that that's really important, especially for those houses that are older than the 80s or 90s. There's a high potential that there's going to have been lead paint that's been scraped in those areas that are right next to the house.
Yeah. And raised beds. We hear about this. You need to build the frame and pour the dirt in. Can you just create a plot? Do you need a raised bed, or can you just cut a square in the ground?
Well, you can cut a square in the ground. You do need to kind of remove the sod first and maybe turn the soil over a little bit. You don't really want to go crazy with rototilling. Rototilling can create more problems in the end with seeds that come to the top and become weeds. And if you rototill in the grass, then there are certain weeds that will just proliferate when you do that. So you want to be careful. You don't have to go crazy with a rototiller. And so you can do it with your own, that plot. You don't have to go to the extent of building a raised bed, although raised beds will provide soil that if you purchase the soil, then you know that it probably is not contaminated.
Yeah. Pamela, any extra thoughts on soil?
Yeah, I think that one thing to keep in mind is that your garden can be whatever you want it to be in terms of size and what it looks like. You know, containers can work great for people who are in urban areas. You can even use, you know, windowsill boxes. Raised beds are great for establishing quickly. Usually when you do in-ground beds, you might want to allow more time to get it established before you start planting. So there's a lot of different options, and I'd say just go with whatever works best for your space, your soil quality, and certainly, like Gary mentioned, keeping in mind any potential lead contamination.
Is there anything that you can do to improve the quality of your soil without going to the garden store and buying big bags of manure or compost? Is there any tricks to, I'm just wondering what people did before there were garden centers and were planting gardens. Did they make their own compost, or what could
you
do?
It's so hard to imagine the time before, isn't it? There's a lot of things people can do, you know, around your property, depending on how big your property is. Maybe you have leaves that you could add to your soil and allow them to break down over the winter, or even now you can rake up some leaves. And now is actually a pretty good time because a lot of leaves are beginning to get kind of crushed up into smaller pieces. So it's they'll be more likely to stay in place if you add them to your garden beds. And you could also, you know, do a small cover crop, even for the home gardener, to improve your soil quality. So I would encourage kind of looking around your property, see what you have. If you're able to purchase cover crop seed, you could be planting some peas and oats right around this time of the year before your first planting in some of your beds, and you have quite a few options.
Yeah. So is it too early to put anything in the ground right now? Growing up around here where we are, I was always told Memorial Day to be safe. But can you plant, could you put in peas, beets, radishes right now? Gary, I'll go with you first.
Sure. So there are certain crops that will start out this early in most areas, I would say. Maybe if you're in Aroostook County, maybe not so much, because there's a big difference between Kittery and Fort Kent in terms of the last frost date. But something that you could go with would be lettuces or any of the greens, as well as you mentioned radishes. You could even do peas at this time. What's the problem right now is that the soils are really cold, so the seeds may take quite a while to germinate, and it may be, in some instances, better to germinate inside and then transplant outside. But even in some instances, you start this early, you have to be kind of ready for potential failure as well, because if we do get a hard freeze really late, then you can lose some of the things that you start.
Sure. So, Pamela, what could people, I can't imagine who this is, but say someone had two kids that had just come off of a long vacation, and they wanted something to do to set up the garden this weekend. What might they be able to do as a family?
Yeah, that's a great question. One thing that people can do at home to kind of speed up the process for planting is you could lay down some tarp in a bed to kind of warm the soil so that you might be able to plant or directly sow some of those crops that Gary mentioned. That can be really helpful. And when you do plant those, then you could throw some row cover over it if you're worried about potential frost or just colder temperatures. But I would say I would warn people to not work their soil too much around this time of the year, because it's often a little too wet to work with. So, of course, that'll depend on where you are in the state. But just be mindful that, you know, if you try to work the soil too much while it's wet, you might actually be doing more harm than good.
Could you start some seedlings? Yeah, so go ahead, Gary, sorry.
That's very true. This time of year, it's really easy to really compact the soil because it's too wet. So you don't want to go out onto areas even on your lawn that are really wet, because you're compacting the soil and making it so that plants will not be able to survive in it as well.
So for this weekend, could you get seeds and start them inside? Or is it too late for that now?
There's certainly seeds that you could start inside. The only thing I kind of caution people about is Usually you really do need supplemental light for growing seedlings indoors, and you also need a pretty ideal temperature for growing those seedlings. So if you don't have those two components to starting seeds inside, you might just be better off direct sowing some of your crops or purchasing seedlings from a variety of different farms and nurseries that have them available throughout the state of Maine. But there are certainly things you can start inside. That'll depend on where you are in the state as far as when you start those crops. But it's not too late.
Okay. And also, what about, we'll talk more about seeds with our guest from Johnny's in a few minutes here after the break. But I'm sure some of us, maybe I'm guilty of this, might have, you know, packets of seeds that they got, you know, 3 years ago at some discount store. Does it really make a big difference to get seeds that aren't too old, or are that like is 3 years old too old, or does it make a big difference, Gary?
Well, I would never throw the seed out. I would try to use it. It can make a big difference depending upon the crop. That fresher seeds are going to have higher germination rates. So you might want to try a few of them and see how many come up inside. But older seeds certainly can still be viable. It really depends from crop to crop.
And I would also add that you might want to think about how you stored those seeds too. Seeds can last a while depending on how they're stored. So if you stored them properly, then the chances of having a higher germination would be much greater.
Right. Keeping them in a cool, dry place is usually the best way to go.
Cool, dry place. Okay. And in terms of the easiest things to grow, the least fussy, and I'm thinking here of, say, you're growing, you've got a patch for your kids, and you want them not to be disappointed by something that's incredibly hard, what would be a fun vegetable or flowers to start with them, say at, you know, age 5 or 6 or 7. Pamela?
Yeah, there are so many options. So I'll try to keep my list short, but when I think of growing vegetables with kids or even flowers, I think about one, the surprise factor. So you could grow, I feel like kids just love to grow root vegetables because they're so shocked by how large their root is when they pull it out of the ground. And so radishes and turnips are super easy, very quick turnaround. Carrots are also great, as Gary mentioned earlier in the show. And then other really interesting things like nasturtiums, something that's, you know, edible flowers, something that kind of has a surprise flavor to it or an interesting color. There are quite a few options you have, but certainly this time of the year, radishes and turnips are good ones to start with.
Okay, great. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to hear from you. What are your questions, comments for our panel today? The number 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
After 33 seasons and 2 national championships, Notre Dame's women's basketball coach Muffet McGraw is passing the torch.
I would like to see more women, certainly in head coaching positions, but also as assistant coaches, because I think this is where kids are looking up and seeing, I have a chance to be a head coach.
Why the Hall of Famer decided to retire this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
And All Things Considered is today between 4 and 6:30 here on Maine Public Radio.
Be sure to tune in this Sunday afternoon at 3 for this week's Symphony Sunday on Maine Public Classical. This week, conductor Lucas Richmond leads the Bangor Symphony Orchestra in works by Leonard Bernstein, Peter Ray, and Christopher Theofanidis. And pianist Andrew Stappe joins the orchestra for George Gershwin's masterpiece, Rhapsody in Blue. That's Symphony Sunday with the Bangor Symphony Orchestra this Sunday at 3 on Maine Public Classical.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today on the program, we're talking with our gardening experts about what to do this time of year for your garden to thrive. Our guests are horticulturist Gary Fish with the Maine Department of Agriculture, and Pamela Hargest with Cumberland County Cooperative Extension. We invite you to be part of the conversation. Email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now is Lauren Giroux. She's Director of Product Selection and Training Research for Johnny's Select Seeds. Lauren, thanks so much for joining us today. I bet you're busy.
We are, but thank you for having me.
So as soon as people realized they were going to be staying home for a while, not only did they start collecting toilet paper, but they started ordering seeds as well. How busy is Johnny's now?
They did. So on Friday, March 13th, when the national emergency was declared, we experienced a 250% surge in visitors to the website. Our phones were ringing, and orders just, they really came flooding in quite quickly. And so it's been a mix, you know, a lot of home garden interest, some new customers, some returning customers, and just a lot of interest in growing, in getting seeds and growing gardens this year.
I'm curious, did you anticipate that kind of surge of interest?
It's not quite to this extent. It has been in the past where in periods of recession or periods where somebody may be thinking more about supply chains and food insecurity, we have seen home gardens increase and interest in home gardening increase. So it was probably around 2008 or so, 2009, that we had a multi-year sustained increase in gardening from people. And so we've seen that before, but this was rather unprecedented in the level of interest and how quickly and sudden it was.
What seeds have been most in demand?
It's really been a lot of the items that are most in demand and most popular for our business anyway. So it's tomatoes and lettuce, beans, peas, cucumbers, carrots, summer squash, winter squash. We have seen quite an interest in microgreens. So, just a little bit over sprout size that can be grown on the windowsill, but really fast turnaround. So something that you could plant and in a couple of weeks be harvesting something for salad.
So are you sold out of a lot of seeds?
We aren't sold out at this point. It has been difficult to keep up with packing and having the right packages on the shelf. But in terms of having seed available, we do have good inventory on seeds. We serve both home garden and commercial growers. And at this point, we've seen an interest, but we're not seeing major collective hoarding of seeds where there's, big spikes in how much people are ordering. It's just more people ordering in general. So we have the good supply. It's really a matter of getting it packed and really accommodating the processing of such a large number of orders within the business.
Do you have any recommendations for what people can still order? It sounds like pretty much everything, but that might be good to plant, especially during a pandemic?
There are things, if you're thinking about something to supplement your food supply, I definitely recommend, as was said, something that's easier to grow, something that can be pretty dependable. So salad mix, salad greens, lettuce, those are the things that are highly perishable. So if you're trying to reduce the number of times you're going to a grocery store, growing the things that you would have to buy weekly or every 10 days would be really good ones to focus on. So I would say that those types of things. Longer term, it's always satisfying to grow things like winter squash because you can store those and have those throughout the season going into the winter if that's something to have and it's a good nutrient-dense type of food.
Sure. Lauren, thank you so much. Appreciate you joining
You're
us.
Welcome. Thank you.
That was Lauren Giroux with Johnny's Selected Seeds. Wondering, before we go to the phones here, and this is to either of you, but are there seeds that you can take from the groceries that you have in your house now that you can plant? Or do you have to go and buy seeds specifically for planting? Gary?
Well, you can plant all kinds of different root vegetables. You can just, if you get like the tops of carrots, you can plant those, or celery, or there's, you know, you could plant potatoes, although we would rather that you plant seed potatoes than potatoes that you buy at the store, because potatoes that you buy at the store have not gone through the same kind of rigorous testing to make sure that they don't carry a plant disease that would be passed on. So there's lots of things that you can grow that way.
Yeah. Okay, let's go again to the phones. We're going to take our first call here from Sarah in Gorham. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thanks. And thanks for doing this program. It's wonderful to hear you guys talking about this.
Sure. Go ahead.
What I wanted to share was you guys have been talking about how important it is for seedlings that you start in the house to have adequate light and to be adequately warmed, you know, to the right temperatures. And I wanted to let people know, especially beginner gardeners who are just getting into it, I wanted to let folks know that that is ideal, but it's really exciting and really satisfying to grow plants in your house from seed, even if it's not done properly, you know, like in that official way. You can have them get extra leggy. They can end up longer than you want them to be if they don't get enough light, you know, because they're trying to reach toward the light. And so when you put them in the garden, they might be a little scraggly for the rest of the year compared to the plants that you direct seed into the ground. But it's still your plant that you started from scratch in your house in April. So I just wanted to encourage everybody out there that wants to plant, go right ahead and do it now. Don't wait until Memorial Day. Don't wait until your garden's perfect. Just go to the store, buy some soil and some pots and some seeds, and just get started.
All right, Sarah, thank you very much. Any comment, Gary or Pamela?
Well, I would say that, you know, definitely for like tomatoes and peppers, even if they do get leggy, then you can plant them fairly deep in the garden because they root from all parts of the stem. So those would be ones that would be generally ones that are better to start indoors anyways. And then if they get leggy, then it doesn't become as big of a problem later on.
Pamela, anything? So I think Sarah has a really great point. It's really fun to experiment with starting seeds inside, especially if you have kids. And the only recommendation I would have, if you don't have the right light conditions and your seedlings do get a little leggy, give a little extra care to your seedling when you're placing them outside during a hardening off period. Because if they are, you know, placed right in the direct sun and wind weather conditions, then they might not be as likely to survive. So just give them a little extra care when they do go outside.
All right, great. It's interesting in this conversation, it's reminding me maybe that gardening for newcomers is a little bit like cooking. It can be intimidating because of all the rules that you have to follow. On the other hand, if you go in with the right attitude, which is let's just give it a whack, it can be a lot of fun. Let's go to Lucy in Thomaston with a question about tomatoes. Hi, Lucy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me. Just a question about tomatoes. I'm in Thomaston. It's zone 5B or 6A. I'm looking for something that the best flavor variety of tomato in this hardiness zone.
Okay, so, Gary, you want to go first? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I'd let Pamela take that one.
Okay, Pamela, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just going to actually point her in the direction of, we have a really great fact sheet that has specific vegetable varieties recommended for Maine. And there's a ton of different tomato recommendations, and those have been tested at our research farm at Highmore. Highmore Farm. So it's a really great resource for any type of vegetable you might want to grow, but in particular, tomatoes.
Okay. Great. Lucy, good luck. Thank you. Gary, because you mentioned there's a great deal of difference between Kittery and Fort Kent. Are there multiple zones that vary greatly? Do you need to pay attention to that while you're picking your vegetables in planting times?
Well, it's most important for the crops that take the longest to grow. So, you know, something like corn, where you need to have the number of days for it to grow and mature. So the difference is, you know, quite stark. If you are in Fort Kent, you've got about 107 days of frost-free growing. And if you're in Augusta, you've got 160 days. So, you know, it really can be quite a difference. So when you're shopping for seeds and deciding on what vegetables to grow, they often will tell you the days to harvest. So you need to kind of look at that and make sure that you're not trying to grow something that isn't going to have enough time to mature.
From Jennifer on Facebook, do you have any recommendations on when to plant new raspberry plants, perhaps mid-May or later? And I'll throw that to either of you. Jump right in.
Well, I'm definitely not a raspberry expert. That would be something that I would talk to David Handley at Highmore Farm in Monmouth about. He's the fruit specialist.
Fruit specialist. Okay, Jennifer on Facebook, that's the fruit specialist. Let's go to Andrew in Unity. Hi, Andrew. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my call. I work for the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association, and I wanted to mention that we have a new gardener resource page front and center on our website, and we are having two question and answer sessions with our crop specialist, one on Tuesday the 28th at 3 o'clock, and another on Thursday, May 7th at 7 p.m. And folks can also sign up for our gardener newsletter on the top right-hand corner of our webpage, which goes out with gardening tips. And we also have the pest report newsletter there if you want to get a newsletter specifically about pests that affect crops in Maine in the season that they usually arrive.
Okay. Andrew, thanks so much for thanks very much for sharing that. Appreciate it. Again, the number 1-800-399-3566 from Heather on Facebook. I think we asked this already, but I'll re-ask it in a different way here. She says, she writes, my kids and I would like to try growing from what we have at our fingertips without buying extra materials, say growing trees from pine cones, apple trees from apple seeds, onions from an onion sprout? And can we use soil just dug up from our yard? There's a lot of questions there, but I think you get the gist. And is there a resource for this, recommendations on how to do it with what you've got? Gary?
Well, you certainly can try it, and I would encourage experimentation. Using soil from outdoors and bringing it indoors and growing plants with that soil can be full of foibles and potential problems, but it's certainly worth trying. In terms of what seeds will grow, apple seeds will not grow the same thing as the apple that you ate, so it will be a completely different plant and may or may not produce apples. If you want to plant a seed from a pine cone, that certainly would be one way to go. People also plant acorns, but they can be a long-term proposition to get to germinate. Usually you need to find one that's already cracked open and kind of turning pink. But you can certainly try those things. They're fun to do, but may not be 100% bulletproof, and you should be prepared for some rocky times potentially.
Okay. Pamela, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I mean, I would pretty much agree with Gary. I think that starting around this time of the year, you can start looking around your property and seeing what fruits may be or seeds that may be germinating, like Gary mentioned, acorns. And then when maples start to drop their seeds, you know, you could try to collect some of those and start those. There's a lot of different options. I would start by kind of checking out what's going on in your property, collecting some seeds, doing a little research to see how the best way to propagate that seed, or whether a cold period is needed for germination, and just kind of experiment. As long as you don't have high expectations, you won't be disappointed.
Yeah, I would mention as well, there's a what's called the Wild Seed Project in Maine, and I would recommend if people want to learn more about growing native plants, especially mostly flowering plants, that they check out the Native Seed Project, and they give very detailed directions on germinating seeds. A lot of them do have to go through a cold period, so actually you put them out in the middle of the winter, and then they sprout in the spring. So it's a little bit late for some of that, but there are certainly others that can be grown now, and their resources are excellent at the Wild Seed Project.
Okay. 1-800-399-3566. We'll take another quick break. When we come back, more of your questions and comments about gardening. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Evergreen Home Performance, sending its heartfelt thanks to Maine's healthcare workers, first responders, elder care workers, and all the everyday heroes helping Maine people. And Healthy Living for Me, offering classes to help older adults maintain physical and mental health. Learn more at healthylivingforme.org. On This Day in Maine's History is brought to you in partnership with the Maine Historical Society.
Guy Patterson Gannett, a newspaper publisher born in Augusta, died on April 24, 1954. He created a communications empire in Maine, including print, radio, and television. Gannett established the Guy Gannett Publishing Company, which grew to include the Morning Sentinel, the Portland Press Herald and Portland Sunday Telegram, the Portland Evening Express, and the Daily Kennebec Journal. It also encompassed WGME Television and WGAN Radio. Gannett was, according to the Maine Historic Preservation Commission, perhaps the most significant publisher in the history of the Maine press.
On This Day in Maine's History is made possible through the generous support of Roosevelt Campobello International Park and the Island Institute. Happy birthday, Maine! The Daily Maine CDC briefing on the coronavirus will take place today at 2 o'clock. Maine Public Radio, Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and the Maine Public Facebook page will all bring it to you live. In addition, each day's address is archived at MainePublic.org for later on-demand viewing or listening. Just choose the television drop-down. Again, Maine's CDC briefing with Dr. Shaw and others is scheduled for this afternoon at 2 and carried here on Maine Public Radio, as well as Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and the Maine Public Facebook page.
Welcome back. I'm Keith Shortall. You're listening to Maine Calling. We're talking gardening, why it has become so popular during this pandemic, and we're talking with our panelists who are taking your questions. My guests, Pamela Hargest with Cumberland County Cooperative Extension and Gary Fish, the state horticulturist. Joining the conversation, the number is 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Let's go to Washburn and Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead, please.
Hi. I was calling to say that I love gardening and I love this program. I start seeds early. This year, I've started some melons that came from a piece of fruit from the store, and I also compost avidly, and I have a lot of things that come up in my garden freely. I've had Blue Hubbard grow and tomatoes that I dig up and share with friends. It's wonderful. You can never count on, like you said, the same fruit coming from the tomato. It might be a different tomato that you grow, but it's just wonderful, and it's so easy to garden up here, and I hope everybody just gets in there and does it, and nothing ventured, nothing gained.
All right, Jennifer. Great. Thank you very much. Fearlessness. Fearlessness is part of this that Jennifer brings to the table. Let's go to Machias and Daphne. Hi, Daphne. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you. So I'm calling on behalf of the Maine Landshare Project,
And we all recognize that growing a garden is dependent on access to land. And unfortunately, the deep inequities in our economy and society are reflected in land access or lack thereof for some folks. So we have the Land Share Project has emerged from Land in Common, which organizes around land justice issues. But we realized that we needed to have an immediate response given the surge in interest and need for gardening this season. So we're building a database connecting folks that are seeking garden space for this growing season with folks that have land to share and resources to support this partnership. So if folks go to our website, which is landincommon.org/landshare, I believe, there are surveys, and surveys if you're seeking land, surveys for if you have land to offer, and surveys if you have resources to offer. So folks already today have talked about seeds, compost, coaching, online resources. We're trying to bring those resources to people so that they can have the most successful season possible.
Daphne, thank you. So are we talking about large plots for
the plots really vary. That's part of the survey. Is you might just have space for, say, two raised beds in your backyard, and you're willing to share that. We welcome you to fill out the survey, but you also might have an acre. So we've already received tons of surveys, both for land seekers and land sharers, and the range in size varies.
Okay.
Yeah, and the other thing that we're doing is we're setting up protocols so that this is all happening kind of with physical distance and respect for both parties. So we work with both parties to set up an agreement, basically.
Yeah, understood. Great. Thank you. Interesting. Thanks very much for your call. From Carol on email, I have read that it's best not to clean up gardens until the air temperature stays at 50 degrees because of hibernating bees. Is this true? I have lots of flower gardens and would like to start cleaning up, but I don't want to hurt the bees. And bees, of course, are pollinators. Gary or Pamela?
Sure. So I work with a Maine State apiarist, and this is something that we talk to folks about all the time. There are many bees that actually make their nest in the hollow stems of plants, and also in muddy areas as well. And so waiting until things warm up is helpful. It does allow those overwintering bees to be able to come out and start a new family. So you've got usually queen bees that are coming out at this time of year. And so if you can hold off and not be a neatnik and clean everything up real early, or even to clean up at all in the fall, other than maybe a few spots on your lawn, that's going to be very helpful to many insects, almost all beneficial, and especially pollinators.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Let's go to Jason in Port Clyde. Jason, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yes, I have a question about plants that you can bury partway, like tomatoes, because they talk about plants being leggy when you do start seeds at home, if there are other plants.
Peppers are also in that category.
Yeah, I would say in general there aren't a lot of other plants that you can bury like that, but tomatoes definitely are a good one for creating a nice sturdy stem. And you can, if you're starting them inside and potting them up into a larger pot, you can also bury them at that point as well, and then burying them again a little bit more when you put them in the ground. But otherwise, I can't think of any other ones that you would bury other than, potentially like leeks or onions that naturally get buried a little bit.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go to Bar Harbor and Ty. Hi, Ty. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. I was just curious. Thanks for taking my call. But We're starting a garden this year and the first time using lights for seedlings. And I'm wondering, is it beneficial to move them from the lights to the window and then back and forth, like, you know, when the sun sets, move them back inside?
You know what, so I would
ask constant lighting.
Your case.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. I guess I'm not sure if this is possible, but if you have a nice windowsill that has good light, I would actually hang those lights right in that spot if you're able to, and then you could have a timer that allows the lights to turn off when you have really good light coming through the window. That way you don't have to move them back and forth. Of course, that might not be possible depending on where that light is coming in from and its location in your house. But you could certainly move them back and forth, but I would make sure that you're getting a good quality light coming through in order to do that.
Okay, thank you, Ty. Good luck. Let's go to Clayton in Sangerville. Clayton, and quickly, if you could, we're running tight on time, but welcome to the program.
Thank you. I've started some cucumber plants inside, actually, for the second time. We didn't have very good luck transplanting them the first time. But what I thought about doing was actually setting a kiddie pool into the ground, drilling holes in it, and putting raised bed soil in that and using that. Do you see any problems with that, or should I take another route? Thanks.
As long as you have drainage in it, I don't see any problems at all with doing that. And just keep in mind that you put it in full sunlight, and if you're going to grow cucumbers, you might want to put up trellises and have them grow up the trellises so that they don't take up as much of the soil area, and you could add in some other plants around it.
All right, thank you. Let's see if we can take one more. We'll go to Carol in Portland. Hi, Carol. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Speaking of cucumbers, I actually had a question about that as well. I planted cucumber seedlings, and they grew really small, and then most of them just ended up rotting. And I was wondering, I'm very new to gardening. I was wondering if you had any advice of what I can do next time to try to get real cucumbers or healthy cucumbers.
What did you use as a soil mix?
I just used the soil by my house, which we had someone test, and they said it was okay for use. I don't really know anything about what particular type of soil.
So when you're growing plants indoors, you started these indoors or outdoors?
I just bought it from the seedling, like the little plant from the farmer's market, and then just dug a hole and planted it.
Okay.
And I live in Portland.
So how did you have lots of sunlight there, and how often did you water?
I get a lot of sunlight there, but I don't know how often. I don't remember how often I watered. Should it be watered a lot or a little? It's on the boulevard.
Yeah, watering is key. So watering is something that you have to, you can water too much or you can water not enough. But generally you want to, depending upon the soil that you're working with, water maybe once every other day or something like that. If you're in a container, you may have to water every day. It really depends upon how hot it is. So really hard to tell. Oftentimes soil, when you plant into soils from seedlings, that there may be some soil diseases there that are called damping off that get into the seedling and cause damage that way. So, you know, I think that the most important thing is that they're in warm soil, so it needs to be above 50 degrees and planted later in the season probably for a cucumber.
All right, and with that, we're going to have to leave it. Carol, best of luck. Don't give up on the cucumbers. It will happen for you.
Yeah.
Gary and Pamela, thank you once again for joining us today. Really interesting. Appreciate the time.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Gary Fish is the Maine State horticulturist, and Pamela Hargest is horticulturist with Cumberland County Cooperative Extension. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Our theme song was composed by Mike Jandro. Today's Maine Calling will be rebroadcast at 7 this evening. You can find past editions of Maine Calling, as well as helpful links and resources, by visiting MaineCalling.com. maine.org. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Stay tuned for the upcoming update from Maine CDC Director Nirav Shah, who will be joined by State Labor Commissioner Laura Fortman. Up momentarily on Maine Public Radio, I'm Keith Shortall. This has been Maine Calling.